she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my pennies and I saved my dimes.
Good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Hello.
Lane Lewis.
Good morning.
And me, Sybil. Good morning. Hi, how are ya? We're here every Saturday, 9 a.m., taking your phone calls, 877-881-1053, and your Autoflex Leasing fan texts at 43733, and you can even call Autoflex. Maybe you're thinking of getting a new car. Maybe you want a pre-owned car. One place to go. What are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234 out of the area, and as always, autoflex.com, where you can follow along on our Facebook page by liking Autoflex's Facebook page with a lot of the stories that we're going to do today. And really, if anyone's in the market for a car, it would be a good idea to give us a call. Rates are really low right now. There are some gigantic rebates, crazy rebates. Yeah. So if you're thinking about getting a car, maybe you owe more in your car than it's worth, let the rebate eat that up for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just makes sense. So give us a call. Buy, flex buy, or lease a car.
And, you know, Sybil and I were talking about how much is going on this weekend, how many fun events all over the place. So if you want to have fun all weekend and not spend 5 to 10 hours going to a couple of dealerships, test driving, finding out about the car, then negotiating the price, then trying to work out the terms to make it affordable, and then still not even being sure about your decision, just call Autoflex instead, because we can save you so much time. Right, David?
Right.
Yeah. You'll still have time to go to Wildflower Fest in Richardson,
exactly,
or Main Street Days in Grapevine, or Fork and Cork in Addison, or Fort Worth Music Fest.
I love Fork and Cork.
Yeah, let us do it all for you. One phone call. Tell us what you're interested in. We can arrange for you to test drive. If you want to see more than one vehicle, you can do it at our place. And then we'll go through the different programs that are available and help you figure out what's best for your lifestyle and your driving and trading habits.
Even people that don't know what they want when they walk in the door are usually out in about an hour, a little more than an hour.
Yeah.
So just think about it. You could be in and out, get a great new car, and get your fork and cork on this afternoon. You know?
I think I was in and out within about 35 minutes, and that's only because I test drove 3 cars. But then I got to do all the paperwork over the phone.
Pretty much, and then we brought it out.
They delivered it to me right here at the radio station, and I signed for it in a commercial break.
You know, a lot of people... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you.
Well, a lot of people really don't realize it is that easy. We deliver cars to the home or office. We keep you... We respect your time. We do the work so you don't have to. Mm-hmm.
But I want to say, one of my BDC reps brought to my attention that apparently somebody complained that we were willing to come to the house. And that was off-putting to them.
They posted it online. They were a little scared. They posted online, listen, we don't know what, we think this is some kind of scam. They want to pick up our car and appraise it.
Oh.
And then someone else came in, thank goodness, and posted and said, look, I've gotten cars from Autoflex for years. That's part of their service. They pick up and deliver your cars and stuff.
Yeah.
So don't be scared. We're harmless. And we're just offering to save you time.
If you're hesitant about it, you're more than welcome to go to Autoflex. You can drive up there.
Drive your happy self right on over.
Yeah, that's
right. You can come from Oklahoma City if you want to. Okay. What is it worth? You know, there was a lot of talk about Toyota getting all of these benefits from the city of Plano and the state of Texas. And Plano is giving them $6.7 million in grants, and the state is offering $40 million in incentives. But what is it really worth for Toyota to move their national headquarters to Plano? Well, they knew before they made those offers, folks.
Of course.
They believe, this is a study that was done prior to the move and prior to the offers being made, they believe that Toyota Motor Corporation's relocation may bring as much as $7.2 billion of economic activity to the area over the next 10 years.
That's pinky to the tooth.
That is, yes, million. Actually, that's billion dollars, including $4.2 billion from payroll. They say that the average paycheck of a Toyota employee is going to be around $104,000 a year. So these are, I mean, this is a really, really big, big benefit to the area.
Does it specify which department? I mean, is that everybody? Like the receptionist is going to be making 6 figures?
No.
Well, this is
an average.
Okay.
That's an average.
So they take all the salaries from the 30,000 to the million dollar people.
So I was about to rip these headphones off and drive down there.
You know, they're expecting as many as 3,650 full-time workers that'll be coming to Plano because of the relocation of Toyota. So it's a really big thing. It's a really great thing for the area. We're glad to see it. And Toyota, of course, says that they plan on being a model corporate citizen. And I'm sure they will be because that's what they've always been.
And it also means they'll be putting more money into local other companies, too. You know, people are going to have to buy houses or rent apartments and go grocery shopping and all that other stuff.
And stop at 7-Eleven for a Slurpee.
Bingo.
Yes.
I thought it was an Icy.
No. Slurpees.
Slurpees there. Who has the Icy's?
I think that's a Target situation.
Moving right along.
My childhood.
All right. General Motors this week agreed to a $35 million fine over delaying the report of the ignition switch problems that resulted in a number of accidents and possibly 13 fatalities. A $35 million fine. They've also agreed to unprecedented oversight by the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration in the future. And they've actually started a division that will, and they're calling it the Global Product Integrity Unit, that encourages and empowers employees to speak up when it comes to safety issues being spotted.
So does this, and I know that this is another story in here, but does this Global Integrity Unit also stifle the words that people are allowed to use?
We're coming to that.
I know.
We're coming to that.
So annoyed by this.
Okay, so right now, and this week, GM also announced 2.7 million more vehicles that will be recalled due to brake lights, windshield wipers, and brakes. And now this involves 2004 through 2007 Malibus, Malibu Max, 2005 through 2010 Pontiac G6, and 2007 through 2010 Saturn Auras. And that is so that they can modify the brake light wiring harness. There's a way for corrosion to get in there, and the brake lights may come on when they're not supposed to or may not come on when they're supposed to. Also, 140,000 Chevrolet Malibu sedans, 2014 model year, for a problem with the electronic brake control module that can increase the risk of crashes. By golly, if I was driving a 14 Malibu, I'd get that checked out.
Mm-hmm. I think no matter what car you're driving, this is go online to find out if there's a recall, because sometimes you don't even get the notification if you're the second or third owner.
Well, and that's
sometimes
true.
They have a hard time finding you, tracing you. So go online, no matter what car you're driving, and look for recalls.
Where do you go? The manufacturer's website?
Google at first.
Yeah, okay. Google.
Yeah, probably on the website. You know.
Moving right
along.
Start
with Google and everything.
Mm-hmm. 05 to 07 Chevrolet Corvettes, 111,889 of them for a potential loss of low beam headlight function. In other words, you can be driving along and your low beams can go out. In fact, that's going to affect Corvettes between 2005 and 2007. Also, 2008 to 2013 with the same problem. Windshield wipers not working properly, 19,225 Cadillac CTS models from the 2013 to 2014 model year. And finally, 477 Silverado and GMC light-duty pickups from 2014 and 15, and Chevrolet Tahoe SUVs from the same year with a problem with their tie rods not being threaded properly. That's another one I'd have checked
out
pretty quickly.
Well, a lot of this, I mean, they don't manufacture all of their own parts. They're buying parts and different things from parts manufacturers, correct?
Yeah, and they're responsible for the final assembly and the safety thereof. So anyway, there's a lot of recalls that you're seeing coming out of this ignition switch problem that GM has. Interestingly enough, this week, the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration admitted they didn't really know how the airbags work. They thought that airbags were powered up to 60 seconds after the engine went off.
Do you remember?
Or the ignition was turned off.
Well, we kind of covered this several weeks or months back. It was something about the airbags deploying, and it had to do with that ignition switch thing, right? If this wasn't working properly, then did the airbags deploy? And somebody said that they do stay on for a certain amount of time after you turn off the car.
And they don't. They operate for 150 milliseconds. Now,
that's for GM, but what about, and other manufacturers are a little different?
If you bat your eyes, you have spent more than 150 milliseconds. They don't stay on when the ignition's turned off.
So don't sit in a parked car.
the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration was not aware of that, but they are now. And so now they are looking at regulations that will cover when airbags will work when the power to the car is turned off. They like regulations. But if the power is off in the car, you ain't got no airbags.
So in the movies, when they crash and everything finally comes to a halt and they take a big exhale, deep breath
and then
breath
the airbag
out,
goes off?
Yeah.
Wrong.
Are you telling me the movies aren't real life?
Hey, it's the movies. Okay, so now where did all the problems come from? Possibly a bulletin that GM put out in 2008 that instructed employees not to use words such as defect, dangerous, or your toast in any of their engineering bulletins.
Who uses your toast?
Well, there were some bulletins floating around that had some terms in there that, and this was part of the problem. GM is so large, they can't communicate with other departments except by writing, right? And they are subject to be sued for pretty well anything they do. So they put out a bulletin in 2008 and said, look, don't use these terms because we could get sued into oblivion. So they were instructed, instead of the word problem, to use the word issue, condition, or matter. And for defect, they were told, does not perform as designed. And for the word safety, they weren't supposed to say it's a safety hazard. They were supposed to say has the potential of safety implications.
Sounds very political.
Well, yeah. And I think
lawyers.
I think the problem is that these bulletins have all come to the surface now. And everyone understands that GM was trying to minimize their liability in case there was problems. And so they put out a bulletin and said, hey, guys, when you're writing, since we all communicate this way, don't put us in court by writing things like your toast or it's a defect because it hasn't proven to be an effect. It may be an issue. Mm-hmm. But the reality is now they look pretty bad.
Yeah, and that goes with anything. If you're ever texting or emailing, you've always got to soften it a little bit because that's going to be there forever. If it ever wants to be brought back up, they've got it in text.
Never type or write anything you do not want everyone to see because the possibility is they're going to.
Right.
Yep.
That is something I heard a long, long time ago. And then a very wise man told me, when you are sending an email, take the personality out of it when it comes to business. Even if you are, you know, you
friends
think you
have
with this
them.
To say or that,
thing,
you know, I have plenty to say. Take the personality out of it and just facts.
Yeah. Well, I always write it as if it was going to be read by everybody. That way, if it ever gets read by anybody else, you're covered.
Right.
Good words to live by.
Mm-hmm.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. This is all it says. Should I sell my car? Good question. Okay, go ahead.
We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive and answers to important questions like that next on 105.3 The Fan.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah. We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your hosts, David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Lewis, and me, Sybil. Our phone number to the studio, 877-881-1053, or if you want to send us an Autoflex Leasing fan text and you're not driving, feel free to do that. The number's 43733. And as always, you can call Autoflex. They are open today. Ask them about Save Money Monday. What's that and what are the numbers, David?
Well, the numbers are 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234 out of the area. And Save Money Mondays is the one day a week that we offer vehicles to the public that are about to go to auction on Tuesday. Now, we know we're going to get wholesale at auction. That's what auctions do. So we reduce those prices to the public and offer them one day a week. We'll cover those cars later in the show, but a lot of really great cars offered for sale, Save Money Mondays, Monday at both Autoflex locations.
Yes, and later in the show, we're going to talk about the greatest auto technology fails of all time. So if you have any you want to contribute, 43733 is the number.
You know, some of these fails that we're going to talk about, I'd forgotten how really bad they were.
Speaking of the Autoflex Leasing fan text, I've got the same problem with my 05 Buick Rainier. The low beam lights go out intermittently while driving, and my mechanic hasn't been able to find the problem. Any advice?
Well, yeah, I first go online and type in 2005 Buick Rainier headlight failure, and you will find that you are not alone. Now, I haven't done the research into it, but that's the easiest way I can think of to determine if you've really got an issue and if other people share it, and then find a solution. And your mechanic may not have done this, but go online, type it in, and there's a whole stack of people with low beam failures on Buick Rainiers.
All right. So step one for you, sir or ma'am. Let's get into Continental Tires, because they've got some sensor stuff going on.
Well, you know, it's pretty amazing. Now you can get tires that tell you when they're low. A lot of cars come equipped with low tire pressure inflation warnings. And it's really sort of cool, because they call them TPMS monitors. And it's really sort of cool because they can tell you when your tires are underinflated. And if your tire's underinflated, the most expensive thing it can be is it'll eat the tire up. It'll just chew it up. And the other thing is it'll ruin your gas mileage.
Oh, no. Earlier when you said your tires will tell you when they're low and it's TPMS, I was just wondering if there was a pill for that yet.
Nice. Okay.
Like restless leg. Never mind.
So Continental was actually the first company, the Continental Tire Company, to come out with TPMS monitors. And they put them in cars, you know, clear back 2002, which is, I thought, pretty interesting. They've been around for a while. Now they are coming out with a tire that will measure its own wear. So when your tires start to become too worn and unsafe, there will be a warning light that will go off in your car and warn you that your tires need to be replaced. Is that crazy?
No, it's awesome.
Yeah. Now you really don't need pennies in the world.
No. Oh, and they've changed from pennies to quarters because George's head is closer than Abe's head.
Oh, really?
To the edge, yeah. So it makes you think your tire's a little more worn than if you use a penny. But anyway, so that's really cool. So now they're going to have tires as soon as 2017 that will actually monitor the wear on the tire and let you know it's time to change tires. The next thing that's coming, load base warnings. And that is when maybe you're packing up for vacation and you're putting all the stuff in the car. Well, you can actually overload your car according to the ratings of the tires. And Continental in a few years will have load base warnings that will come automatically on your car. So if you've got like a half ton pickup and you've loaded 2 tons of stuff in the back, you'll know it. If nothing else, you'll have a warning system.
If that warning goes off and you haven't loaded up the car, then you know to go to the gym instead of to the McDonald's.
Good point. Nissan drivers want to pay attention to this.
Yeah, you know, a couple of things. A timing chain is a chain that works in the front of the engine, and it actually keeps the valves and the cylinders from banging into one another. It's very, very important because when it breaks, it shells the engine.
I had always wondered exactly what that did. I just knew timing chain. Got to do it before you hit 100,000 miles.
Yeah, it coordinates the movements of the valves up and down and the cylinders up and down so they don't hit each other and that the engine fires at the proper time to deliver maximum power.
Okay.
Well, there's 104,000 Nissan Juke subcompacts from 2011 to 2013 that the timing chain is showing an excessive amount of wear on the chain and on the sprockets that it runs on. So they are replacing that. Nissan is replacing that at no charge to the customer. So if you've got an 11 through a 13 Nissan Juke, contact your local Nissan dealer or go online and check on it. They'll be sending out notifications on the recall. Get it done, though, because if that breaks, it can ruin the engine of the car, and it only takes a millisecond.
Yikes.
Yeah, it happens
Which
instantly.
Which would still then probably be covered by the factory because it happened. However, it would leave you stranded.
Yeah, because you're stopped wherever you are.
Yeah.
And finally, Nissan, they're being investigated a second time for the Quest. 12 complaints in the last 14 miles from the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration. Because if you're driving a 2007 Quest, the fuel gauge may not really tell you how much fuel you have left. In fact, they have some examples that show that the gauges say that there's 70 miles remaining in the tank and you're out.
Whoops.
So over the last 14 months, they've had 12 complaints. And so if you have a Nissan Quest, take that in. Not a fan of the Quest, sorry.
I love the feature, though, on cars now where you can see how many miles you have to go. But I don't know that I trust it 100%. You know, as soon as the gas light comes on, I pull over and get gas. But I have had to push it before. You know, maybe I'm running late somewhere and I'll go, okay, well, it says I've got 30 miles and I just better get there. And next thing you know, it just pops down to 15 with, you know, 1 minute that's gone by. Yeah. And I know I'm not driving that fast. So,
it may just be catching up with you.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. So those things I'm always a little bit leery about anyway. RAV4 is no longer this? Or just the EV version?
No, the RAV4 is still going to be around, but Toyota is scrapping the idea of an electric RAV4. And this is really interesting because Toyota has a partnership with Tesla. And Tesla supplied the batteries for the RAV4. And Toyota actually sold Tesla the plant in California where the Model S's are being built. But this week, Toyota announced, that they are pulling the plug on the RAV4 and they are going to concentrate on their hydrogen-powered FCV coming out. They showed it at the Toyota Motor Show last autumn, and they're expected to have these on the road sometime in 2015 in California. The biggest issue with the hydrogen car is that you can't buy gas everywhere, or hydrogen everywhere, but there are a number of stations going in California now to service these hydrogen-powered cars. If you recall, in talking to the alternative fuels manager for General Motors several years ago at a conference, he told me that hydrogen power would be the next main power source for cars. It would not be electricity because the battery, the weight of the batteries provides a real problem in being able to make electric cars practically that will run long distances, and the fueling time on electric cars is prohibitive. It takes hours generally to get one back up to power. If you've got a hydrogen-powered car, it's like filling up your gas tank at a gas station. You just fill up. The other thing is hydrogen is made by all the petroleum manufacturers as part of their distilling process for petroleum. They have to produce hydrogen. So there is huge capacity to make hydrogen. So it's a delivery system is really all they're waiting on. So anyway, Toyota has pulled the electric RAV4 in deference to the hydrogen-powered FCV they're coming out with.
Really interesting for the future.
Everybody wants to think about electric cars being really cool, but Tesla lost $90 million again last quarter.
Ouch.
And they sold more cars than they've ever sold. So, and I spoke to a Tesla representative in California about a week ago, and about leasing them. Mm-hmm. And the problem is no one will guarantee the residual or the end value or what that car will be worth in 3, 4, or 5 years. And it's not because it's not a great car.
No, it's a great car.
No one knows whether Tesla will survive. Mm-hmm. And you would think they would, but they may not, and there's not a big lender that will lend to them and say, we'll guarantee the car is worth 50% at 3 years, something like that.
There's no guarantees.
That's right.
It is a great car, forever. Though. It's probably one of the finest, if not the finest cars I've ever driven.
Mm. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. AutoFlex Lease,
oh yeah. We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Lewis, and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053, and our AutoFlex Leasing fan text is 43733. You can also call AutoFlex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, you can go to AutoFlex.com, read along with us on the stories that we're doing today, or you can look at all our great pre-owned cars, learn about leasing. You can apply for a lease online. Maybe one of the best things you can do, if you're worried about what your car is worth and you're trading it in, you can get a free black book appraisal right there at AutoFlex.com. Fill it out. It'll only take about 5 minutes, and you will get a black book appraisal on your trade-in free from your good friends at AutoFlex.
That's right. Tammy's pointing at something.
Oh, that text.
Yeah, it's just an interesting one. I'm going to buy a 1998 Mercedes-Benz SLK 230. It's been in my aunt's garage since 1998. It has 3,100 miles on it. What are your thoughts? Okay. A lot. Here's why. It's a 1998 Mercedes. You have to concern yourself with the cost of repair and the fact that it is still a 98, even though it only has 3,100 miles on it. So you don't have a warranty to protect you on the car. As long as it runs and drives, it's really cool. I mean, it's a great car and it's certainly low miles. I would try to figure out, really, I mean, if I was going to buy it, I'd certainly try to figure out what it was really worth. So I'd go online,
they
look
mentioned
at that.
$8,000. They want to know, is that...
I don't know. Oh, okay. I have no idea because the car is so old. But you can find out by going online and looking. And the other concern is when something breaks, it's going to be expensive because it's a Mercedes.
And just they might not make the parts anymore.
Well, and that's, I think probably you're going to be fine on parts because they run for a long time and they're on the road for a long time. It's just an expensive car to repair. But it's a heck of a cool car. And with that kind of miles, it's the only one on the block. There's no doubt about it. Just look at what your downside is going to be. The upside is you get to drive a really, really cool car around.
I think it'd be fun for your weekend car, but if you're using it as your daily driver, you're not going to have any of the amenities that you get with a new car that you'd have today, like Bluetooth or the safety features or things like that.
That's what you don't have in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, a 98, it still has ABS and airbags and seat belts and all that stuff. I think it'd still be a great car. I'm concerned, does this person need to take the car in and have it all checked? Because if you don't start those cars for a while and stuff, what can happen?
Well, you can get dry rot in the in all of your tubing and your wiring, things like that.
So it might need
a whole...
The
heat and the cool. So, yeah, you have to have it checked.
So our thoughts... Get it checked out. You can hire that, the mechanic that'll come and check out the car completely from top to bottom for about $250 and give you an entire list of what needs to be repaired or replaced on the car.
I don't really have the access to the information I would need to give you a value. If you want to call me on Monday back in the office, I can tell you what the car should be worth.
Mm-hmm.
And take it to a Mercedes store and have them look it over. I think it'd be worth spending a little bit of money.
Take it to a Mercedes store and ask them what they'll give you for it.
That too.
Yeah.
That's what it's worth.
There you
what
go.
What they'll give you for it.
Since that is a 1998 car, it may have had a couple of these issues. I love this list that David has today. The greatest automotive technology fails of all time. If you have any to contribute, 43733 is the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text.
Yeah, it's a little crazy, but when you look back over time, some of the things that we have had on cars are pretty darned amazing. Now, some of these I remember. In fact, all of these pretty well I remember. This one I actually remember from the mid-50s. Before there were MP3 players, CDs, cassettes, even 8-tracks, there was phonographs for your car.
Onboard record
player. You could buy an onboard record player. They called it Highway Hi-Fi, and it was offered by Chrysler, and it would RCA later offered an in-car record player for 45s for singles. But the problem is, every time you hit a bump, the needle would skip.
but we thought CDs were bad. Think about a record.
Yeah.
And
highway
more
high five.
And in the high heat, you know, if you left your record in the car, it was going to come
back. It
was
warped.
Warped and melted. That didn't stop Chrysler.
Well, it didn't make it past the mid-50s either. Okay, how about Auto PC? And this was actually from Clarion and Microsoft. They thought that they could put a small PC in every car, and it would integrate the telephone and the email and navigation and music. But it was a $1,300 ad, and it really didn't do that much, so it really didn't go over very well.
Mm.
Okay. I remember these.
I do too.
Talking car alarms. Stay away from the car.
Yes, step away from the vehicle.
Step away from the vehicle.
Yes, I remember those
too. God, those were irritating.
Uh-huh.
Well, and they didn't always work as designed, so they didn't make it either. But that was in the 80s, I think. That was a big thing.
So the electronic voice alerts, I remember this because I got my first job in the car business at the body shop. I was helping to call customers back after we'd had a, you know, big tornado and hailstorm in Oklahoma and bring them back in. So now we can fix your car, because we were a good body shop at Ferguson Pontiac GMC, and they didn't just take your car in for 3 months and let it wait its turn till we got there. We sent them the people away and said, okay, when we catch up. So I would call people back to set that up. And while I was doing that, somebody towed in a car that had been smashed, a Chrysler.
Right.
That had been smashed up, and it was a brand new model that had all the talking voice alerts. And the technicians that were working on the car said, yeah, you know, you could get in and you turned it on, it started talking to you. He goes, just wait till I get my machines after it. It's going to be going, ah!
Well, you know, I remember the Nissan Maxima because that was the first car I remember getting in. And it said, the door is ajar.
Yes.
The door is ajar.
That was
low fuel.
Yep.
Low fuel.
Siri before Siri. is what that was.
Mine worse was always, than a backseat driver is what that was.
Yeah, mine was always telling me, turn down the radio.
Yeah.
Headlights are on. Really? Is that what that is? Okay. CD-based navigation, another great idea that didn't last very long. And even as late as 2011, they were still building cars with CD navigation, and that's where you had a CD to navigate by. In some model cars, you had to have a different CD for every part of the country you might drive in. So if you bought your car on the East Coast and then moved to the West Coast, you had to go buy another CD.
For $250.
Or you couldn't see where you were going.
I never heard of these. So you pick out, I mean, there's different roads. Each track is like, this is I-20, this is I-30, this is 820.
No, this is like the Northeast and the Southeast and the Central. Yeah.
But how would it know where you were to tell you where to go?
Well, we knew where you were, but it had to coordinate with the CD.
There was a disc that loaded into the car, in the trunk of the car, and that was the navigation system. And every several years, you'd have to buy a new disc to keep up with all the new construction and so forth.
Right.
But it was also the same where you would have a different disc for different parts of the country. So, yeah, if you bought your car in the East and...
You had to go get a new disc.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's all cloud-based now. Digital instrument panels, and I'm not talking about the LED panels like you have now. I'm talking about those that look like the computers from the 60s, where they had the lights that lit up, the little digital lights, and you could see the 8 and the 7 and the 6. They all had the same two little squares, high and low.
Yes.
And all horrible. Absolutely horrible. Okay. Automatic seat belts.
Oh, I pinched my finger. I told you in that Eagle Premier.
A lot of people did.
Not a good idea at all.
They at one point in time, it was mandated that all vehicles have passive restraint systems. And airbags were more expensive to put in than these automatic seat belts.
There was a little track. When you closed the door, this thing went and the
strangled
shoulder
you.
Strap.
Yep.
And strangled you. People got their fingers caught in it and all that stuff. In 95, driver airbags finally became mandatory, and that was the end of the automatic seatbelt.
I'd like to know if anybody lost any digits with those, because in the car business, back in the day, because I've been around a long time doing this, we had lock boxes on the car windows, and we kept a key to the car in the lock box right there on the lot for anybody to come take. And then there was a key to open the lock box. So we opened those lock boxes, got the key out. Well, the lockbox was rolled up in the window, not unlike how you did the speaker when you went to the drive-in.
Right.
Okay. So your habit was to get in the car, roll down the window, take the lockbox off, you know, toss it in the back so you didn't forget. You didn't want to drive around with that on there. Yeah, that's how my finger got pinched.
Sounds painful.
Okay.
Not that y'all care. You can't even visualize it, I'm sure, but...
Talking about the greatest automotive fails of all time.
That was a fail.
Yeah. Someone has texted in, Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, cell phones installed in cars.
Oh, yeah.
That was the biggest thing.
We did that.
When
I started Autoflex, people would want their car installed, so there was all these different places you're trying to mount this thing. It was like, why are people... There's drilling holes in the car.
You had this big phone that sat on like this pole between the seats.
Yeah.
That had a universal joint so you could like flop it around.
And a curly phone cord, a really
thick
curly
cord. Phone cord, yeah. Yeah. And then the whole phone unit went in the trunk.
Yeah.
You know, so you had this big box of equipment back there, and they drilled a hole in the roof of your car to put the antenna in.
But it was so cool to have one, though.
Oh, yeah.
You were rich if you had a car phone.
And people had those fake car phones where they'd plug them into the glove box and close the door, and they just had the handset.
Not talking to anybody, just faking.
That same person would probably upgrade the badge on the back of their car from, you know, the basic little four-cylinder engine to the V8.
Yes.
Making an LX. All right, automatic headlight dimmers. I actually remember these, too. These were installed on cars so that when you were approaching another car and your brights were on, it would automatically dim your headlights for you. And I can remember my dad had a car that had a bullet-shaped thing on the dashboard with a lens in front of it, and it was the auto dimmer, and it was the coolest thing, except every time you'd go under a street light, it would dim your lights, too.
Wait, mine still do that.
Yeah, but
it's like automatically
now you have sensors that it's all electronic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, how about push-button gear changing? I had a buddy that had a 63 Dart, and the gears were push-button, and they were on the left side of the dash over there, park and neutral, and you just push the button.
Weird.
And Ford, actually, in the Edsel, Ford had the push-buttons in the center of the steering wheel, which worked great until you got mad and started to honk at somebody. And then you'd throw the car into neutral.
Wait, now we missed this one, ignition seatbelt interlock.
Oh, we didn't miss it. I was saving it.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right.
That was biggest pain in the world. They the government mandated that you had to have a seatbelt on at all times, passive restraint. And so what they did was they did an ignition seatbelt interlock, which meant that you couldn't start your car unless you were sitting in it with the seatbelt fastened.
I don't know if it had to, sitting. You could just fasten the seatbelt and do
it. Oh, a lot of people did.
You could have gotten around it.
Yeah, a lot of people did fasten the seatbelt.
But they didn't take into account people in the winter might want to go out, start the car up, let it warm up, and go back in.
Yeah, I can't do that.
So that was a big fail. But I'd just be like, okay, so fasten the seatbelt and just don't be sitting in it.
Mm-hmm.
In 74, they rescinded the rule.
And
good move.
It's still similar. I mean, you have the sensor. If you have, I don't know what the weight limit is, 55 or 80 pounds or something in your front seat. Because sometimes my dogs will get in the car and it'll go bing, bing, bing.
That means you got to belt them in.
Oh, yeah, I guess I could.
Oh, they should be strapped in.
Yeah, I need to get doggy seat belts.
They have them.
I heard. Okay. I'm going to get some.
They.
Moving right along. The last two things I want to mention real quickly. And if you grew up in the 50s, and I did, the things, everything was seen into the future was going to be amazing, and one of the things was they predicted that we would have nuclear-powered cars. I promise you they did. So there was shows on television. Popular Mechanics did like little segments on what it was going to be like to have a nuclear-powered, a plutonium-powered car. You would never have to fill it with fuel. You could drive forever. And they all looked a lot like Buck Rogers spaceships.
Right.
And then finally, and every this actually got built, was a turbine-powered car. And Chrysler made it and built 55 of them between 1962 and 1964. They didn't go over, and as a result, we don't have turbine-powered cars either.
No turbine-powered cars and no cars that are powered by a small nuclear reactor. Thank God.
You know, when we talk about having a meltdown on the highway, that wasn't what we had in mind.
Exactly. Oh, we got to go gas up. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Well, happy Saturday to you. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David, Tammy, Lane, and me, Sybil. Autoflex Leasing fan text us at 43733, or you can call Autoflex. What are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234 out of the area. And as always, you can go to autoflex.com, see all our great pre-owned cars, and see our Save Money Monday cars.
And those are cars that are going to auction on Tuesday, but they're offered to you for one day at those good prices.
And these cars are, well, first of all, we know we're going to get wholesale when we take them to auction. So we reduce them from retail, and we offer them to the public for one day. And these are great cars. 2014 Buick Enclave, a 2014 Chevrolet Suburban. These are all pre-owned cars. Someone else has taken the big loss on these cars. 2014 Ford Mustang Convertible, black. How about a 2012 Infiniti G37 sedan? I mean, these are in a 2013 E-Class Mercedes. These cars are reduced, and you can buy them Monday at that reduced price. Save Money Mondays. Go to autoflex.com, click on specials, and you can see pictures and get all the information on the cars there.
I'm always impressed that there are 2014s that are already pre-owned and available. I love that, because usually the misconception is if you're getting a pre-owned car, it's going to be 5 to 10 years old.
Sometimes people get cars and they just don't work for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Love it. And then it ends up working for you. So
it does.
Use that to your advantage. Have you ever heard of paying biweekly?
I have, and it's really interesting because if you want to do that with your mortgage, it's a really great idea because it pays your mortgage down very quickly.
Like two payments per month instead of once a month?
No, a payment every other week.
Yeah.
So instead of making 12 payments a year, you're actually making 13 payments a year.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. It works great with your house. Not so great with your car, because all of these biweekly payments that you see advertised for cars also involve fees. Now, if you make 13 payments rather than 12 a year, it pays your car off a little sooner and does save you some interest. But by the time you add in the fees, it eats up whatever savings you might have had. So what biweekly payments do is they make you pay for the car faster than you would like to. They don't save you really any money, but they do help the lender because they pay off the loan sooner. It involves less risk for him that way. And the big thing they push with them, and they say, hey, you reach an equity point sooner in the car. Well, great, but you just paid to do it. It's not magic. It's just more money.
And somebody's getting the fees.
Well, and that's the thing. The largest financer of bi-weekly fees out there is based out of Florida, and they are up in arms because right now the Federal Trade Commission is investigating bi-weekly payments. And interestingly enough, the National Automobile Dealers Association, which usually pretty well comes down on the side of the financing companies, in this case, they're saying, let's take a look at this because this may not be good for consumers. Well, I'm going to tell you, from my experience, it has never been good for consumers. It's always been good for whoever's generating those fees.
So we advise against it.
No bi-weeklies.
Right.
We actually had a competitor that did bi-weekly payments for a lease. And their big deal was, we'll get you out early. Well, guess what? You made all your payments. If you make all your payments early, you get out early.
You can get out whenever you want if you paid off.
I don't know how it worked exactly, but
yeah,
something sounds too good to be true. Investigate.
It's good advice.
Okay, so e-plates. They now have electric license plates. And these plates actually can have messages that light up on the plate. Like, if you don't renew your registration in time, the state can put, you know, this plate is exempt, or they can put expired right across. So everyone that sees you can see the expired sign on your license plate because you didn't renew your registration when you were supposed to.
The scarlet letter.
Yes, it is. And now the big thing holding everybody back is these things cost about $100 a piece rather than about $5 a piece. But we may see them in the future, and it would, I think it would make people probably get their registration when they're supposed to.
You would think, but...
Well, and every policeman that saw you...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, could write a ticket.
But they could see it on your sticker on your car. It's just harder to see.
Exactly. When it's lit up like in neon on the back license plate, expired, probably a hint.
I'm sure, though, since it's a computer, they'd have hackers who'd find a way to get in there and change it. And you could go pay on the black market somebody to change it for $20 instead of $100.
Great business
Good
idea.
Thinking, Sybil.
All right. Thinking. Finally. In Kansas, an 8-year-old girl is credited for saving her mother's life. She and her mom were on the way to school, and her mom, because of a health condition, passed out while driving the family's SUV. And this little 8-year-old girl reached over, got over, and got behind the wheel and started driving the car because her mom had completely, she was totally unconscious. So now we've got an 8-year-old girl driving a family SUV. She was scared to death, of course, and so she did the first thing she could think of. She actually made a U-turn and headed home.
Oh.
Because her dad was at home.
How cute.
So now, well, it was pretty scary, I think. Yeah.
That's a cute U-turn.
Well, instead of just pulling over to the side, it's cute that she wanted to go home and see her dad.
Well, she couldn't even stop the car because
her mom's feet were down there.
She was steering it.
She was just steering it. And she was still, her mom's foot was still on the accelerator. She couldn't reach the brakes. So anyway, Officer Jimmy Hamilton, noticed the SUV was only going about 20 miles an hour, and it was sort of weaving from lane to lane. So he pulls up next to it, and lo and behold, here's this little girl behind the wheel. And so he rolls his window down. He gets her to roll her window down, and he says, I'm going to pull in front of you, and you bump into the back of my car, and I'll slow you down. And she was so afraid she wouldn't do it.
Oh, I bet.
So she kept changing lanes to avoid.
Yeah, he'd pull in front of her and try to slow down, and she'd change lanes. So finally, though, he did talk her into it, and he got in front of her. He slowed down his patrol car. She bumped up against the back of his patrol car, and he was able to stop the car.
Brought them both to a stop.
Wow.
She didn't just save her mother. She saved probably a lot of people.
That's true.
Yeah, could have. Anyway.
Good job, little girl.
It happened in Galena, Kansas, a town of about 3,000 residents just north of Kansas City, or just south of Kansas City. And they plan on giving the officer a plaque for outstanding bravery in a life-threatening situation. And they gave her a key to the city, by golly.
And a driver's license.
Not yet.
I wonder what happened with her mom, though. I mean, so she comes to, and she's probably got no idea what's going on.
Yeah, right. It didn't mention, the story I read didn't mention the condition that caused her to pass out, but the kiddo saved her life, probably, and like Tammy said, maybe some other folks, too.
Mm-hmm. Thankfully for that. I remember as a kid, though, my dad used to let me steer. He'd let me steer down our street and into the driveway, and that's it. But he would, I'd sit in his lap, and he would do the pedals, and I would do the steering wheel.
I don't know that people do that anymore, but when I was a kid, we would go out in the country, and they would put me up on something where I could just barely reach the pedals, mm-hmm. and they would let me drive down when I was 10 years old. By the time I was 12, I was able to drive a go-kart pretty well.
Yeah.
Because I had all that practice on country roads. I don't know that people do that anymore.
Well, no, you can't have, there's airbags that kill the kid. Don't do it.
Oh, yeah.
And all we had was that steering center post that would penetrate your chest exactly. if you ran into something.
Such a bad idea. All the stuff we did, laying in the package tray.
Yeah. Riding without seat belts, thing. Smoking in the car with the windows up with your kids in there.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
All of the above. But you know what? We all made it. We're here.
We did make it.
We lived through those childhoods.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text 43733. What's your closest location to Lake Worth?
That's going to be Arlington. That's going to be on I-20 just west of Cooper.
But yes. If you're not scared, we'll come to you.
That's right. And you can call 877-234-1234 if you're out of the area. Mm-hmm. Or, as always, the other phone number is 817 or 972-234-1234.
Okay, and thanks for the correction. Every other week is not 20 is 26 payments a month, not 13. It's 13 payments a year, not 12. And if I misspoke, I apologize.
I'm so glad that person texted in because I almost went, do you mean 24? But yeah, 26 is half of 52.
Yeah.
That's the trick. No, don't do math on the radio. Thank you, Tammy. All right, we'll be back next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. In the meantime, you can go to autoflex.com or call Autoflex if we didn't get to your Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Thank you to Lane. For David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, I'm Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.